There were some existing contacts from four years ago. Gabriel had spent a considerable amount of time there, and so he had, you know, trusted contacts there. So they were able to give us some information about the security situation and about who the people might be in the photograph. So it was very much a case of arriving with the photograph, something you can't do over the phone, really. You have to go there, produce the photograph, and point to the people, and then there's a discussion in the room.
And you eventually tracked him down. Where did you find him?
We eventually got his mobile phone number and called him, went around to his house, you know, had a chat with him. Someone else from the family arrived who didn't want to be filmed, and in the middle of the discussion reached round into the back of their belt underneath their coat and pulled out this gold pistol.
Must have been pretty amazing to be there for that, because I'm sure it was going through your mind and Gabriel's mind as well that you might find him, but you may not find the gun.
Yeah. And, you know, when you set out to try and make a film, mostly people will want strong evidence that you're going to achieve the goals that you set out on paper to make a film. In reality, the best films are never really like that, but you still have to have a plan. And so it was good to find the gun.
It was quite a trophy for him, I would imagine, and surprising in some ways that he hasn't cashed in on it. He hasn't tried to sell what would be a pretty much sought after weapon.
I don't think that the young guy realised quite so strongly the significance of it. I think the older members of his family who'd lived under Gaddafi thought for them it was an honourable thing to have it. They were at great pains to say that they didn't kill Gaddafi and that they didn't condone his death and his torture before his death. But for them, it was a symbol of the end of a period of tyranny under which they'd lived, and for that reason, it had no monetary value for them. It was just symbolic.
And while you were there, Mark, you got a good sense of what life is like now for people on the ground in Libya. What kind of state is it in?
It's very fractured. When you consider that if you were close to Gaddafi under his regime, it was a dictatorial regime. If you were close to him, you ran the risk of his wrath upon you. But if you weren't in that close circle, pretty much people lived by a relatively wealthy state. Fuel cost nothing. You could go to the petrol station and it might cost you a pound or two. The guy might not even charge you for a full tank of petrol. It's hardly worth his while. Healthcare was great. Roads were great. And what's happened now is that's all been fractured. As often happens when you remove a dictator, many people want to fill his shoes. And then those many people fight against each other over territory. So it's Libya is divided pretty much east to west. So the cities are dangerous enough places. Tripoli, particularly dangerous. Benghazi, very dangerous at the minute. With all of that, you have Islamic State either inside these cities, operating in small cells, or most certainly at 50 to 100 kilometres outside of most of the cities, you have Islamic State who will do everything to take advantage of a failing state themselves to try and take over.
And working in that environment, what's that like, knowing that there's danger around every corner here? Do you fear for your life at times? Do you take stock and think, what am I doing here?
You can't go unless you've got some very good contacts in the country. Otherwise, you'd be walking in completely into the unknown, which is, you know, a perilous thing to do. So most of the people that we had there were very helpful. We try not to make any fuss. We try not to make any. We didn't stay anywhere any glamorous that might make a show of yourselves. We stayed in, you know, backstreet places where people wouldn't notice it. You know, so you don't hang around anywhere very long. In case someone sees you and spots you and passes information on, you hope to be gone before the information is passed on. And you know, you're always aware. I think you're always aware of who you're meeting, how long you're going to stay there, and what you might do if, you know, if unfortunately something did go wrong.
And I know as well in Libya there are sites of huge significance and in the past would have been big draw for tourists there in the country. Did you come across any of them? Because I know there has been concern in the wider world, if you like, about what happens to these sites whenever conflict happens.
Yeah, I mean, on the road from Tripoli, we came across a place called Leptis Magna, which is amazingly preserved Roman port city. You know, the site, one of the Roman emperors came, was born there. And we went into the place. It's absolutely amazingly intact ruins, a beautiful theatre, a magnificent triumphal arch. You know, given what Islamic extremism has done to blow up, you know, beautiful monuments, historical monuments on the world, you'd have to be fearful of this place, you know, because there was one guy there with a Kalashnikov guarding this ancient Roman city. It was an incredible sight to see. I mean, and literally, we were the only people there. So, I mean, you would be queuing for hours in any other part of the world to try and get into this. You'd have to limit the numbers to go in to see this place, and we were the only people there.